Welcome to part two of our conversation with Michelle and Dawn.
Do you feel like when you're not on an investigation, like there's something around you or something is attached?
I do, but I've never felt that it was a child or anything, and it doesn't feel like anything bad. I don't do any investigating in my house because I have other family members in my home, so I don't do it because of them, but I probably should maybe do an investigation in my house just to see if I have this attachment or any other attachments here, but they do not make themselves known. Mm-hmm. They don't do that.
They have. Remember when you thought it was your son or somebody?
Oh, my son. Yes, that is true.
You've had a couple instances.
Yes, they seem. Yeah, my one son, they seem. It's been about a year. I haven't had anything for a while. But when my son wasn't home, I would hear. So maybe that kind of makes sense now that I'm thinking about it. It could have been a child. I mean, my son's older, but he has Xbox, he has games, he's got all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah. And I guess if I was a child spirit, I probably want to hang out in there. And I kept hearing noises and things in his room. And then I would open the door thinking, did he come back home? And he wasn't in there. So that's kind of correlating a little bit with what we discovered a few days ago. So that's very well possible.
I mean, my house is haunted.
Yeah, her house is very haunted.
Okay.
It has ghosts galore. Like, whatever room you want to go in, there's a different one.
Was it haunted before you moved in, or did these things come along for the ride after being out at an investigation?
It was here before, but my husband will totally tell you I've brought a whole bunch home.
Okay.
I mean, I know I have from other places. We had this one. Her name was Megan, because she told me her name was Megan on the ghost box. And she stayed here forever. And I brought her home from Eloise Asylum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I want to stay on the Ouija board for a moment or two.
Oh, go ahead.
Michelle, how does, because there's a lot of, I guess, misinformation out there, fear, all of that about the Ouija board. So if someone were to say to you, okay, how do you use this thing properly in a safe way that is not going to have something get stuck outside of it or follow you home? Is there a method that you practice to minimize that or make it so that just doesn't happen?
Well, and like I, you know, mentioned before, you know, if you do your research, you know, anyone out there interested in possibly trying the Ouija board, there were no rules when it came out. It wasn't until, you know, in the 70s that people, I'm so sorry, hold on.
And the funny part is she doesn't have a bird. It died 7 weeks ago.
I know. It's more of a misconception that they're evil, because they're really not evil. If you're using just positive thoughts, you just go and buy one out of the store, your regular Parker Brothers.
Yeah.
And you're using it. We were at a location where they had one that was used by a serial killer used to find his victims with that board. And I was like, all right, I want to use it because I like creepy stuff too. So, I mean, we didn't get nothing bad off it. I mean, like I said, our board's more active.
Our board is very active. And I apologize for that. Someone came home to my house and my bird acts like a dog. you know, you're good. Like I said, you can have an attachment with any equipment. I think when people use the Ouija board and they have a bad experience, they associate it with the Ouija board. If I had a bad experience and I was using dowsing rods, I would assume it was the dowsing rods that gave me this bad experience. I think it's whatever equipment you are using at the time. If you have a bad experience, you're going to associate it with that piece of equipment. With the Ouija board, you know, there is no set way to, there's no ritual. There's no, you know, we open the board. We do like an opening of the board.
How do you do that?
we kind of go around just three times on the board just to get it going, just to show that this
moves. Circles.
Yeah. That way, you know, if there is anything looking or anything watching us, they see this moving, we get it, kind of get it going for them. And then we start asking questions. We tell them that they can use our energy. They can, you know, just use the energy that we have in our body, in our hands, to move the planchette on the board. We are very respectful. We ask them if they would like to speak with us. If they don't want to speak with us, you know, they usually will tell you goodbye or no. Mm-hmm. And we respect that. And we will ask if there's any other spirits that would like to come through and speak with us. And then, you know, when you're done, you just remove the planchette from the board. That's it.
It's a backward. We close it.
Yeah, and then we close it.
Okay.
Out. Yeah, we
go. That's probably an important step.
Yeah. And I don't even know if that's something you're supposed to do. It's just something we do. Feel. Yeah, we try to be so respectful. With any piece of equipment that we use, we try to be very respectful.
How do you close the board exactly?
We just go back the opposite direction of how we opened it. We just go backwards and then slide.
Backwards.
Yeah, and then you slide the planchette off. You know, you're closing out mm-hmm. the Ouija board session.
Is there any requests that are made at the end, like you guys stay over there, we're going to be over here, or is it no. just kind of understood that once you go in reverse on the board, that is the closing of it? Do you have to put the planchette?
Yeah, and we usually know. You can tell. We know, I think, yeah. Dawn and I, because we do it so much together that we kind of know, we can feel it. We know when the spirits are done speaking with us, and you know, we know it's time to just close out the board.
What's been one of the most interesting things that you guys have had come through on the board in terms of a message or anything of that nature?
You know, we just had something happen recently. It was a personal thing to someone close to us, so I don't want to use names or locations sure. or anything, but we had a person who passed away not long ago who was, we believe, attached to the person who has this location. And we did, you know, we have it on our Facebook page, but before that we did another Ouija board session. We just didn't really have anything coming through. And we decided to try it one more time in a different room. And this person that had passed came through, and they were very adamant about who they were. They spelled out their name.
Everything was so fast. Yes. Like the planchette was sliding off of our fingers.
Oh, wow.
It was flying across.
Yeah.
It was
moving with force to answer our questions. It wanted to let us know that he was there. And I think just to let this person that he cared about so much know that he was there. And that was kind of emotional, I think, for me, because you know, it touched so close to home, you know, because of the person
that sure.
had the place that we were at. And I would say that one was probably the most, but like I said,
we did one at, we can say this location. Yeah. It's called the Monroe House.
Okay.
The Mysterious Monroe House.
Yes.
We did. I mean, the whole house is full of Ouija boards, Ouija board everything. We did one upstairs in their doll room and had connected with the spirit of the girl that lived there, who we believe is the girl that lived there. Now, yeah. The girl was actually found, well, we don't know if it was her bones, but the bones of somebody was found under the house. And because it was so long ago, they don't have to remove the bones. They could choose to keep them where they're at mm-hmm. or have them buried. Well, the owner chose to keep them there, and they have them, you know, blocked off so people can't get to them.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have to crawl in a really tight crawl space in a basement. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that was one of the coolest Ouija board sessions too, is to make contact with somebody you know that is on that land.
Yeah. Does it matter where you're doing the session at? For example, you know, I am in Northwest Arkansas. I grew up in Wisconsin. If I wanted to try and communicate with my deceased grandparents, would I have more luck doing it up in Wisconsin near where they lived or where they're buried? Or does it matter if I were to do it here?
I think it all depends on if they're with you. I mean,
okay.
It could be, you know, if they are attached to you and they want to be around you. I recently had a medium do a reading on me who said that my grandmother was always around me. So I probably, if I wanted to, could pull out my Ouija board and possibly communicate with her. You know, other entities like to be where they were happy, maybe at their home that they lived in. You would want to go there and do communication there. It just depends, you know, if the spirit is with you or if it's at a different mm-hmm. location.
How often is it when you're doing a session that do you specifically ask to try and speak to a targeted individual, or is it who's ever around, come and talk?
It's usually whoever decides to come through. We usually don't try to open it with communicating with one particular person. Mm-hmm. We just let whoever is there that wants to communicate come through. And then we'll try to get them to spell a name or, you know, let us know if they're male or female. But no, I think we just let whoever is there that wants to come through and speak with us.
Have you ever had a situation while using one where you felt like you got something that was a little dangerous or not human? You know, I know the word demon gets thrown around a lot, no. but something of that nature, or something just really negative.
Only no. at the jail in Ohio. There was something that was just bad, and mm-hmm. our other investigator had told it goodbye. That was the only
time. Yeah, I think that's about it. We really don't usually have anything.
I mean,
negative.
At the Monroe House, though, it was a very negative energy mm-hmm. in the whole room.
Not through our Ouija board, but it was definitely a negative energy in that house for sure. But we've never had like anything.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, you know, that a demon attached.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Following you home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Murder you in your sleep, you know, nothing.
We've devil coming through and talking. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a demon. The movies make it like it's a devil and a demon, and that's what people are afraid of.
And I respect that people, you know, I really truly believe some people believe that they did have something bad happen with the Ouija board, and I don't want to say anybody is not telling the truth. I believe them, you know, that they think that they did have something happen to them through the Ouija board. And that could be true. Like I said, it can happen, though, with any piece of equipment.
It could have been a ghost in your house at the time.
Has there ever been a time or a place where, you know, you obviously you get good results with it, but you said, you know, I'd like to use it here, but I there's just too much negativity, and I'm out of caution, I don't want to open that door.
No, I don't think we've ever felt that way. We usually will respect the location. You know, we always ask if a Ouija board is okay to be used there. We have been to places where, you know, the person just prefers that you don't, and mm-hmm. we pack it away in our vehicle. We leave it there. We don't, but we've never taken it somewhere and thought, oh gosh, no, I think it's too bad here to use it.
Okay.
Michelle and I are daring.
We're pretty, home. Yeah.
The daredevils.
I think even if there was something there, we probably would still
we would
try to communicate.
Yeah. We are daredevils, and we'll always, if there's like a small little crawl space, I'm like, come on, Michelle, come behind me. Let's go.
We're each other's. Yeah.
Hers. And
see, I'm almost looking for justification to try and use one from your stories. Like,
you know, so far, I mean, ask us a year or two from now, but so far we've been doing pretty good.
I rarely go out and investigate. I do mostly just here in the studio. Me and my daughter will go out every now and then. And just kind of mess around a little bit with, you know, an app or whatever equipment that we have with us. But we don't do it super seriously. We do it certainly respectfully, but yeah, I mean, it just that's why I'm always interested in this sort of a perspective, one that you don't hear all that much of.
Well, we've used it at a cemetery, which I was going to say cemeteries are one of my favorites.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The bird saying, don't use the damn Ouija board. Don't listen to these ladies. Don't.
We love it. We love it. yeah, we've used it at a cemetery, and with that,
and people will tell you not to do that. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yep.
And I don't, that is one of the things they say, don't use it in a cemetery. So we'll probably get ripped apart for that one. But yeah, but that's just, that's us though. That's me and Dawn. Mm-hmm. We're kind of daredevils, go getters, and
take us right to their grave. Like, you know, we've had it guide us.
Yeah.
Tell us who we want, what their name is, spell it out. And then we had our ghost box, our SB11 going and guiding her to what grave it was. And it happened to be like three of the same names, like John. And it ended up being in the corner all the way over there. And so it was good. Like, they just wanted to be noticed, like, hey, I'm here kind of thing. Come see me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not nothing evil or bad. And sometimes it's mostly spirits wanting to just be acknowledged.
Sure. And just be heard, basically.
Yeah.
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 I apologize for that.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. I've just been saying that there really is no bird. Those are just sounds that are coming through. Because I'm not even joking. I have had that on this show before where strange sounds come through, not necessarily bird screeching, but sounds that they're not on the guest's line. They're not on my line. And, wow. And it's been kind of creepy. Sometimes I don't even catch it till I have a influx of emails saying I felt sick to death at X point in that interview. What was that? And I go back and listen and there's some strange sounds and it's rare, but it has happened. I've had no voices pop up on the show, but it just weird noises and reactions that I've gotten from people. Why do you think it is that your specific Ouija board seems to be so active?
Wow.
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I know why. Michelle bought that Ouija board at a haunted jail. So it was already pre-attached, if you ask me.
Okay.
That's my theory.
Yeah, and I think it could be us too. Maybe our energy. I'm not really sure. It does seem to be active. We were just at a location recently, and we tried using two Ouija boards that were at the location, and nothing was really coming through. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna go get my Ouija board out of the car, and we went and got our Ouija board, and sure enough, it just started moving like crazy on the board.
A girl that's never used a Ouija board used it, and she got so emotional.
Yeah,
using it. Like she just felt emotion.
Yeah. When you use it, do you ever feel that? Do you feel the emotion of the person that's trying to communicate?
Oh, definitely. I think we did. Yeah. Like the one I was talking about earlier, who had recently passed and was wanting to let us know he was there. You felt I was kind of drained after it. I felt the emotion. Oh,
you felt sad and and confused. And it was just weird. Cause you,
nothing bad. Just, you
know, yeah.
Sad, just sadness. Almost just taking on the emotions of what that person is. I call it downloads sometimes where it's just, boom, you're feeling this. You don't really know why, but it's there. Yeah. How interesting. You had mentioned in one of our communications back and forth that you guys had run into something, one of the darkest places that had an impact on all of you. Can you tell me about that?
Well, that's going to take us right back to the Monroe House.
Okay.
In Indiana. And that house, everyone that goes there, I think, has the same story. It's just a very dark entity in this location. The people that run it are amazing, wonderful people, but they do have a dark entity in that home. And our team is like a family. We all get along so well. We never argue. We all just get along really great. And when we were in this home investigating, we were all in one room together. And just out of nowhere, we started snapping at each other. And it became really heated and emotional. And it was like we weren't ourselves, just really fighting with each other. And then we all got up and we went out of this room and started just going off and doing other things in the house. And you just felt yourself kind of calm down. And we all started getting along again. But that was something that we all noted.
Yeah. And as soon as you walk back in that room again, like you could just feel angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a different room, we have like such a angry, dark spirit come through that
yes.
we were like, oh, okay, well, we're ending this.
I think it said evil lives here on one of our EVPs.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be enough to say, thank you. I've had a good night.
We slept there.
Oh, you did.
It was like 1 a.m. and after it said evil is here, we're like, all right, well, we're gonna go to bed.
Going to bed now.
So you're like, let's get the sleeping bags and bring the popcorn into this room.
Yeah,
that's definitely us.
Let's see what happens.
In the scariest spot, the most active spot is where we like to sleep.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Michelle and Dawn. A big thank you to them for joining us. Their group, High Heels and Hauntings, if you want to look them up. Very interesting experiences that they have to share. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.